this is Kyle Munley from Savudu, and you're listening to Nutty Bites.
This November, I'm gonna write a novel in 30 days. And by December, I'll take the end on the last page. I've got some...
What's awesome in the month of November?
NaNoWriMo pwned my soul. Yes, NaNoWriMo came and went, and I won it. I did, and I won it early, which is great. But unfortunately, I have not written a word in my novel since November ended. I kept writing after I won, and I got a couple thousand words over, but I probably have about another 50,000 words to go. And I'm just having so much trouble writing. So I tried to write something else. I'm involved in audio drama at the local community radio station here in Fredericton, CHSR 97.9 FM, if you're local, which I think only one of you are. Anyway, so I'm involved in this audio drama program and we're trying to get some scripts together. And I've got this great script idea. I'm just having a hard time getting those words out too. It's the weirdest block I've ever had. I've never had writer's block like this, where I have ideas. I just, when I sit down, I can't get any words out. And that's never really been a problem for me. Last November, when I finished my novel, I just kept moving on to short stories. But my novel was about just over 50,000 words. So I had completed it. This time, being only halfway done, it's a little nerve-wracking. So I'm dealing with a bit of writer's block there. It's awesome that I got it done. And winning NaNoWriMo 2 years in a row, it's great. I also have discovered that I know what I want to do with last year's NaNoWriMo novel. For those of you that don't know, I went back to edit my novel from last year and I was incredibly bored with it. So painfully bored with it. I like the concept. It's just the story. If I were a reader, I'd have stopped reading it. So I haven't really done too much editing on it. While I was writing this year's novel, I decided what I need to do with the old novel is I need to go in and kind of do what Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies did to Pride and Prejudice. I need to go in and add some supernatural elements in there and take things that seem to be innocent and make them, you know, crazy and gory. Basically, the novel is a young adult standalone traditional style. No sci-fi, no supernatural, nothing like that. It's just kind of a coming-of-age kind of story. And I think that's why it's so boring. So I think if I add in a bit of supernatural and a bit of danger, it might be fun. So that's going to be a project. But I still need to finish the novel that I'm working on. And I still don't have a name for that novel. I'll get to that. I don't know. Maybe I need a break. I don't know. I wish I could say that I was drying instead, but I'm not. Will I do NaNoWriMo next year? I'm not sure. The thing about NaNoWriMo is it's supposed to get you in the habit of writing. It's supposed to change the way you write. And last year it did. I wrote my novel and I kept writing stories and I kept meeting with the people that I met with throughout NaNoWriMo. We had a writing group and we would read our work to each other. We would share, we would grow. It was a great experience and I found that I was writing more and more throughout the year. I'm not sure if I'll do NaNoWriMo next year because I'm not sure if doing it this year has changed any more in my writing, or right now I'm feeling kind of halted, so we'll see. Ask me in 6 months. NaNoWriMo is supposed to show you that you can write a novel. You're not supposed to just write a novel in November and never write again. November is not the only month to write. All months are the months to write. And this year's challenge is going to be to A, finish the novel, and B, actually edit it to a point where I'm ready to start sharing it. If I can do that, then that will be a success. If I, come November next year, have not finished editing this novel, doing NaNoWriMo is not going to help me as a writer. I may get involved in some of the activities just for the social aspect, but I don't want NaNoWriMo to be a crutch. And for some people, it is. And some people just do it as a thing, you know, like growing a beard or, you know, for a month and whatever people do, talking like a pirate on September 19th. There are some people that just do it because it's an event, it's something to do, it's a thing. I kind of don't want to approach it that way. While I do enjoy the social aspect of NaNoWriMo, it's a lot of work and pressure just to drive yourself crazy for 1 month. So we'll see what I do. And hopefully people can remind me that my goal is to improve as a writer. So in 6 months, if I've decided if I've improved, then yes. And in 11 months, if I have finished editing this novel from this year, then sure. But if I haven't done anything, if I haven't told you all that I have succeeded and I start talking about NaNoWriMo, I want you to call me out. I want you to call me to the mat and say, hey, have you improved as a writer? Is this really worth it for you? I think that's important to be able to know where you were and where you're headed. I don't want to get stuck. And now, granted, I've always said I'm a visual artist. I'm not really a writer. Writing is my hobby, but that doesn't mean I don't want to improve upon it. I took a couple trips this month. First trip was to HowlCon, which was awesome. First off, new venue. It's in the World Trade Convention Center in Halifax instead of the Lord Nelson Hotel. So there was tons more room, which was great. And it seemed like, to my little eyes, that double the amount of people came to the convention. It was pretty amazing. I really enjoyed it. And interacting with the people there was really fun. I went with a whole group of friends, a bunch of my friends from Nova Scotia. We all met up and some of us shared a room and some of us just met daily. And we just had so much fun going around. And again, like more conventions, the interaction with other people is more exciting than the panels. I loved all the costumes. I think that there are more costumes per person at HowlCon than any other convention I've ever been to, which is awesome. And not everybody's being the same thing. That's another thing. There are a lot of really clever costumes. If you look on my Flickr stream, you'll be able to see all the different costumes that were there. There was a huge steampunk presence there. I had a lot of fun with that. Unfortunately, when I went to the steampunk panel, I couldn't hear what anyone was saying. The room was really crowded and there seemed to be bickering between some of the panelists and the audience members before it even started. So my friends and I, we cut out and we went to lunch because I really didn't want my friend's first experience with steampunk to involve snootiness or bickering or anything like that. Besides, they learned quite a bit of steampunk from me anyway. Not that I'm the authority, but you know. I was in steampunk gear. I was in my Asian steampunk outfit. But it was a lot of fun. Interacting with some of the guests was really cool. I always kind of wish that I can show up to all of the different, you know, meet and greets and things like that. But unfortunately, I can't afford to show up and pay, you know, $30 for each celebrity. Although they did have Q&As, which was really cool. Nicholas Brennan was there. You may know him as Xander from Buffy. He was really good. He has a good presence when he's talking with the fans. And it was really cool because he keeps stressing that he is not a geek. This is not his thing, but he enjoys it because he loves how much we like the character and how much we are involved, and just that geeks tend to be more positive than mainstream people anyway. So that's good. Also, he says that Joss hates us all. Sorry. It's true. If you've ever watched anything from Joss, you know he hates you because he wants you to suffer. Also, J.G. Hertzler was there. He played Martok on Star Trek. He was a Klingon, eventually became Chancellor. He's really awesome. He's the one with only one eye. I had a lot of fun with him. He ended up pulling me up on stage during the How to Be a Klingon panel. I wasn't dressed as a Klingon because I didn't know he was going to be there until like 2 days beforehand because I didn't do my research. And I just didn't bother creating my ridges or anything like that. I do have a Klingon costume. I don't use those plastic ridges. I can't stand when I see a Klingon and their ridges don't match their skin tone. Ugh. I sculpt them myself out of gelatin. It's subtle, but I think it comes out really well. I was really excited to see all the different kinds of Klingons. There were old school original series Klingons with the Fu Manchus. There were modern Klingons. There were you know, Klingons in SCA gear. There were Klingons in all sorts of different kinds of costumes. It was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed that. There weren't too many of the bad ridges, but there were a few. But I didn't really get involved in too many of the Klingon things because it was so packed there was no way to get in unless I dedicated myself to only going to Klingon panels, and then I would have had to sit in line and wait for everything. Plus, they kept changing the schedule, so it was really frustrating. I didn't see any of the panels that Erin Gray was on. She was there, but I didn't really get to see her other than pass by her. So HalCon was really awesome, had a lot of fun. My friends and I were already planning on returning for next year. I also went after HalCon. I went to stay at a friend's house in the valley in Nova Scotia, and then I went to my old writing group, and that was a lot of fun. It was like 4 days with my core group of writing friends, and I just had so much fun seeing them and hanging out with them, and it really made me wish for a TARDIS because they're 6 hours away now. While it's not that far, if I'm going to be driving 6 hours, very rarely will I be going to Nova Scotia. I'll probably be heading to my family. It's a shame that I don't get to see them more often. I also got to see some of my other friends that live in the valley, and that was fun to catch up with them. But I also got to go to the zoo. And anyone who knows me, you know that there was a zoo by my old house and I would go weekly, and I kind of know the animals and the animals kind of know me to the point that when they see me, they will, you know, make noises. One of them, Jasper, he's a cougar. He'll chase me up and down a fence. He prefers to chase Tech up and down the fence, but if Tech's not there, he'll take me. So when I was running up and down the fence with him, I tripped and fell. So Jasper won, but I got to see, I was going to say all of my old friends at the zoo, but unfortunately I can't say all of them because two of them have passed on. The 21-year-old tiger, which I have pet in the past, Bonnie, she passed away. And sad. They had to put her down. They buried her in a place of honor. And one of the lionesses, Tawny, the troublemaker, she was 20. Just to give you an idea, big cats, their lifespan averages to about 14 years, less in the wild. So the fact that these animals were 20 and 21, they lived a long and happy life. And Tawny was buried with her brother Rutledge, which was the 807-pound lion. He passed a couple years ago, but I had a lot of fun. I got to see I got to see my old friends. I got to pet a couple of them. I got to, you know, run around and just have fun. And I went with my friend Aurora Lee, and sharing the experience of the zoo is so much fun. I had a blast, and I was so happy to go with her. Let's see what else. So went back to Nova Scotia later in the month, because there was a write-in all night that my group, my NaNoWriMo group in Nova Scotia does, where for 12 hours you meet and you just write. And you bring snacks and we play games and all sorts of fun. And I went, and I have to say that derailed more writing than anything because the travel time just was a huge suck. But it was great to hang out with my friends and to see them and, you know, It was really good because Tech was away all of November, and it was nice to have that kind of companionship and hang out with the girls. It was great. I was glad to do it. Will I do it next year? Not so much, probably. I don't know. It depends. Then again, next year, HalCon's not supposed to be in November. It's supposed to be in October, so we'll see how it works. So much traveling in 1 month is eek a lot. Been doing a couple more things with the radio group here in Fredericton. Having a lot of fun with that. Really like the people that I meet down at the station. They're a lot of fun. I also got to go to FredEx, which was a technology conference. First one that they held here in Fredericton. It was pretty amazing. I didn't really know it was going to be on the agenda. I mean, I read the panels, but I didn't quite get it until I was actually there. And it was basically showcasing a lot of the technology and a lot of the research going on in Fredericton here. It was kind of amazing. There were a lot of talks and speeches and panels and whatever you want to call it about all the different technology and different software that's being developed. A couple of cool things was this one program called Alex that's supposed to be an app to help with literacy, to help people who English is a foreign language, people who just don't have strong literacy skills and so forth, to make reading easier, help them learn to pronounce properly. I was fascinated by it. It was amazing, but I'm not going to go into too much detail on everything. These are just a couple of things that kind of blew my mind. The biomechanical prosthetics presentation was so impressive because not only are they being able to make artificial limbs for people that are more like human limbs and can move like human limbs to the point of, you know, they've got individual finger movement, you know, much like Luke Skywalker. But as a strange side effect, these people, they can feel touch. They can feel hot. They can feel cold through their prosthetic limb, which to me is really interesting because it just means that whole thing about phantom limb, it's not really psychosomatic, is it? And that was fascinating. There was all sorts of other stuff going on that if I were to get into detail, it would take way too long on this podcast. But, you know, the Acorn Project and there's an app where basically you can find all the buses in the city and be able to know where they are and when so that you won't ever miss your bus. Doesn't sound so cool, but if you see it in live demonstration, it's kind of amazing. The keynote speaker was Ray Kurzweil. He's the guy that invented OCR. He invented text-to-speech. Speech recognition technology. He talks about artificial intelligence. He did the first music synthesizer. Just a whole bunch of stuff, futurist, whatever. And his keynote was pretty impressive. It's great to see where we are and how much we've grown and how much we're actually able to do. But he was able to show us where we will be in 25 years and the technology that's going to be available. It's not, you know, flying cars of the future, the Jetsons. You know, this is not science fiction. This is reality. We have the technology. We just have to get from A to C. We're missing B. And once we get B, we're there. So that was really interesting. Computer nanotechnology, you know, computer programs the size of blood cells actually working. 3D printers in the house so you don't have to go to the store. You can print out a blouse. I know it sounds crazy, but he showed us what we have to be able to do it now. All it's going to take is getting it into consumers' hands. I was very impressed. One of the things that was really cool is they had a Twitter stream up on the screen all day, and you just put in the hashtag GoFredX, and it would show up on that screen, and there was lots of discussion going on up there, side conversations in between breaks. I would meet up with people that I was talking to on Twitter throughout the speech, and then we would talk about things, and that was a lot of fun. And there were a lot of high school students that you would think that they'd be irresponsible, but they really weren't. They were adding to the conversation. They were contributing. It was pretty impressive. That was cool. It was nice to have that kind of interaction throughout the day. So yay, FredX.
The Critical Myth Podcast. An enlightening look at the best of genre television and its role as our modern mythology. A scholarly, in-depth discussion of story and its ability to reveal every facet of the human condition.
Look at that. There's some guy who's oozing.
I'm creating some not so good words.
Stranger in a strange land? Yeah, that was the point.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
But I was going to say blasphemy, but okay.
The whole blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, shame that musical episode of The Wire got canned.
You know, oh, that's what the damn picture was.
Well, they could have showed me a box with a few wires out, and I think I would have bought it more.
There's a monster. Yeah. And there you go. What in the name of hell are we dealing with here?
The Critical Myth Podcast.
At criticalmyth.com. We're now on iTunes.
What are you listening to?
Because of NaNoWriMo and everything else, I really haven't had that much time to listen to podcasts. It's funny, with all the driving, you'd think I'd have tons. I'm getting some podcast listening done, but I'm getting more and more notifications from my iTunes saying, you haven't listened to this podcast in a while. Are you sure you still want us to update? And that's kind of tricky. So I don't have any new podcasts that I can recommend to you right now, but everything I normally talk about.
I heard it on Twitter.
I don't have the tweets that led up to this, but basically it came out of making fun of Twilight at some point, I'm sure. And Xavi brought up the honey badger vampire. The glitter on me is tears from angels, because I'm the honey badger vampire. Honey badger vampire don't care. Honey badger vampire will eat all glittery vampires. Tweeting that I was on the road and about to drive, you know, long distances. A lot of people, they send me messages and tweets saying, drive safe, be careful. To which Uncle Monster says, don't let people boss you around. Drive crazy if you want to. No, wait, you're one of those people that I actually like. You have to drive safely, which I thought was very cute.
Hello, and welcome to the Tumblr reboot. I am Brand Gamblin, and this lovely lady is...
Allison Duncan. I am the voice of Libby Carter. Jeff, I don't feel right about this. I mean, Allison is a really nice lady, and she has friends. Friends that could put me out an airlock.
Alex, you're an evil supercomputer. Evil supercomputers are not supposed to be afraid of anything.
Even the vacuum of space?
Guys? Or guy, and is that a 46 Beowulf cluster?
Yes.
What are you doing in our studio?
Taking over the world, one podcast at a time.
Hi, I'm Ali. Allison Duncan, I'm the voice of Libby Carter.
It does not even sound like me.
I think you two need to go back and do some more research on how to do this. Check out http://madscientistanthology.wordpress.com. I heard they're working on something that could help you.
I hear they're collecting essays and stories from other evil geniuses to help the up-and-coming mad scientist.
That does sound like something I should look into more.
You know, Alex, I have friends that can put you out in airlock if you ever try to impersonate me again.
What I'm watching.
You know, I watch way too much TV for somebody who doesn't have a TV signal. Can't say that I'm watching anything new. Well, I did look at that show, Two Broke Girls, because my sister was insistent on me checking it out. And I don't know what I think. I will say that I like it, but I think it's just because I like the brunette. I like her sarcastic way. I don't know. There's something about the humor that I like. I'm not sure I like the show. I just like the lines and the delivery. I will tell you that Glee episode of Community, I actually had to turn right off. I know a lot of people are trying to save Community, but if that's what you're going to give me, no, I couldn't watch it. It was so annoying. I couldn't even have it on my computer in the background while cleaning. It was that annoying. Once Upon a Time and Grimm. Still not sure what I think about those, but I think I really like the idea of Grimm. I like the lore, and I really, really like his big bad wolf friend. I really like that. I'm not sure I like the main character so much, but I love the big bad wolf. He's cool. Once Upon a Time, it's really interesting. I just hope that they have an end in mind for this show, because it could be really good if we've got a whole story, but if they're just going to keep going and going as long as they have ratings, I don't think that I'm going to be able to like it. Let's talk about Dexter for a little while. I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm really not. And what I'm going to talk about might be a minor spoiler, you might think, but it's really not a spoiler. It's just something that irks me. In the show, you've got the main character, Dexter. He is adopted, and his adopted sister, Deborah, is a cop. In the last two episodes, they had the shrink suggest to Deborah that she has romantic feelings for her brother, Dexter, who was 4, I think, or something around that age, when he was adopted. Ew. Gross. Not cool. Not okay. What is wrong with this shrink? She needs to be fired. And, I was so grossed out. But I said, let's see what happens. Let's make sure that they don't go there. And then the last episode, I won't say that they went there, but Deborah's entertaining these ideas and feelings seriously. And I just think that's a load of horse hooey. No. I really hope that the shrink is working for like LaGuardia or something and it's a total setup, but it's so disgusting. I don't even know if I can watch next season because of it. And it has nothing to do with the main plot. Main plot has some really awesome stuff happening, but because of that, I don't think I can. I don't know. I haven't decided. I'm ill just talking about it.
Hi, I'm Big Anklevich.
And I'm Rish Outfield. We're your hosts for the Doonstief audio fiction magazine.
On the Doonstief, we read science fiction, fantasy, and horror stories. If you've never listened to the Doonstief, you don't know what you're missing.
After the story, there's witty banter and discussion from the hosts.
The best part about the discussion is that it's at the end, so it's easy just to skip it.
Right, so come check out the Doonstief audio fiction magazine.
Find us at www.doonstief.com.
That's D-U-N-E-S-T-E-E-F.
And I think that's it. I'm going to keep it kind of short. I'm going to be doing a December podcast very shortly, probably first or second week of January, depending on where I am in the world. I may be traveling then. And so keep tuned. But here's the thing. 2011 was the year of awesome. What's 2012 going to be the year of? I like the idea that I focus on the positive and I try to bring happiness and the good things of life in a very cynical and harsh world. I want each year to have a different theme. Because I do monthly shows, I will have a different... I just feel like, you know, each season should have a different theme. So please, let me know, what do you think that the year 2012 is going to be? I know there's talk about the world ending, but I highly doubt that. So... what is the year 2012? What is it the year of? Please send me feedback. Let me know, because I want to know what I need to be focusing on. Also, I'm hoping to put together in the next week a nutty debate, and it will be about what geek gifts, you know, gifts to get your geek, and what are some of the worst gifts you've ever gotten, or what not to get a geek, something along those lines. I'll have it defined by the time that we record. But if you're interested in getting involved, please send me a message. You can get me on Twitter. You can get me through email, whatever. Let me know and I'll try and include you. So that's that. Have a happy holiday. Enjoy the rest of your year. And have fun. And remember, you've got just a little bit of time left to be awesome in 2011. So, be awesome. The music you've heard today is NaNoWriMo by John Anello. Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.